Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome back to another amazing episode of Talkin' Foodie, where we talk everything food and interview awesome people with awesome recipes, knowledge, and ideas. My name is Bart. I'll be your host. As always, we are 100% sponsored by ChefAndBar.com. ChefAndBar is the newest and leading social media platform for foodies, chefs, cooks, and bartenders. You can post recipes, food pics, chat with our awesome foodie community on our wall, start a blog, and conversation of all sorts on a 100% free platform. Chef and Bar gets thousands of unique page views a day and averages 30 new member signups daily. So if you're not a member, please go to www.chefandbar.com and sign up now. You won't regret it. Follow us on Twitter at Chef and Bar and like us on Facebook. If you have food to discuss and want to get on the show, please email us at chefandbar@outlook.com. The show will permanently be archived on our Blog Talk Radio page and Facebook, and our website, and can be listened to at any time. Today, we have an amazing show for you guys. Our guest is Jordan with Ugly Fruit and Veg. You can follow them on Twitter, at Ugly Fruit and Veg, and check them out on the Chef and Bar Network, and also on their website at www.uglyfruitandveg.org. Tomorrow, we'll be talking barbecue with Sean Young, founder of Black Chef Web TV. So tune in tomorrow at the same channel at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for that complete episode. So let's get started. Jordan, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
No worries, man. Thanks for coming on. So very interesting, Jordan, what you do. And it's really intriguing because you don't really find it too often anywhere, actually. I did some Google research after we found out you were coming on the air the other day, and it was you're kind of a one-of-a-kind thing. There was a few other sites or people that sort of did what you did, but it wasn't complete. In fact, it really wasn't that close. And that's why it was so interesting to me. So briefly, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? What got you into this type of work?
Sure. So my day job is working on recycling, composting, reducing waste for the local community that I work for in Castro Valley, California. So for a long time, I've been interested in reducing waste. But really what got me interested in food waste and ugly fruit and vegetables is reading Jonathan Bloom's book, American Wasteland, about 5 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. And the amount of food waste we have, almost 40% of all food gets wasted, it boggled my mind. And so I kept racking my brain about what I could do. So over a course of a few years, I've met people and developed some events and then developed more activities on the side of my job promoting food waste awareness and doing something about it. And that's how it kind of led to Ugly Fruit and Veg.
Okay, so it's funny. When I was growing up as a child, I remember my mother always saying that there are starving people overseas to clear your plate. Do you think it ever really occurs to people that that's the truth, or is that just some tale that they're always told growing up? Were you told that growing up?
Oh, yeah, of course I was, right? I mean, We Are the World, USA for Africa, that was huge when I was a little kid. So I always remember that. And now as an adult, I'm really figuring out that it's not just people overseas. We have people who are food insecure in the U.S. Actually, 1 in 6 people in the U.S. don't know where their next meal is coming from. So it's not a far-fetched, faraway problem. It's everywhere. And with the amount of food we're wasting that's good edible food, it's crazy. Because that's also why I focus now on the ugly fruit and vegetable piece, because actually a big, big portion of that 40% of all food that's wasted is produce on farms just because it looks a little different. Whether it's too big, too small, might have a little bit of scars, whatever. And that could be good produce that we could get to folks in need or, hey, people that just want to buy more produce at a lower price.
So is that produce – the produce is edible. It's perfectly safe to eat. It's just it's ugly, so they toss it out.
Yeah, and in some cases, you can barely tell the difference. Like, it might just be a little small or a little big or just a little bit of a wind scar, like brown spot or something on it.
Something that could be remedied pretty easily. I had no idea they threw all that food out. So the 40% of food that you're saying that is wasted, it's not necessarily folks throwing food out away off their plate or going bad in the refrigerator. It's actually coming from off the farms only 60% of what's coming off the farm is what's actually sold in stores and given to folks. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's right. And there's a lot of talk. I mean, sure, we do waste food in homes and we waste food in the stores, but more than half of all food that's wasted, I think it might be even like as much as 3/4, it's so much, is on the farm. And it's because of grocer policies that think either they think consumers won't buy it because it looks a little different, or they just don't want it to look a certain way in their store. You know, it has to look perfect, round, beautiful, shiny, whatever. So there's just so much of it. And if anybody grows produce at home, they know it doesn't grow perfect every time. So it's an unrealistic expectation. And it's really all around the world that this is happening. It's just more and more grocers are doing something about it in Europe, Australia, Canada. We just haven't gotten quite here yet in the U.S.
I'm guessing that if most home gardeners, a lot of guys now are growing food at home. I do. We have a little garden that we grow stuff in almost year round, pretty much. But I don't really waste anything when I grow it. We pretty much eat, unless the bugs have gotten to it and there's just nothing left, we eat everything. So what you're saying really is that commercial farming is tossing almost 40% of their food out, which is government subsidized too, by the way. I grew up on a farm, and I remember my grandparents getting government subsidized checks for farming, which is another reason I'm also interested in the story. But yet, if you're growing it at home, you're eating probably 95% or more of that food. So why don't we encourage more people to start growing food at home instead of buying it from the grocers? Farmer's market. Do they still have the same issues? I live in D.C., and the farmer's markets here on the weekends are amazing. Are those farmers still doing the same thing, or is it just the larger agricultural major farmers?
Well, it is the big grocers that impose these kind of standards, but I've even heard farmers markets can have a tough time selling, and because it's something ingrained in us where we see something slightly different or smaller, we might not pick it up. But in general, you can find ugly fruits and vegetables at farmers markets, and they do get picked over a little bit, but the big problem is grocers, because they sell like something like 95% of all produce that's sold in the U.S. is from major retailers or grocers. So that's why I focus on getting people to my website, www.uglyfruitandveg.org, to actually call out the grocers, tweet grocers, or email them. I have links on my page so they can call out the grocers and say, we want this in stores. We don't want you to waste it, because really so far in the U.S., the grocers aren't getting the message.
So this, of course, I'm assuming, and I'm not a financial advisor, but this would lead to higher food costs, because 40% of it's going to waste, or somewhere around that realm, and more people going hungry because they can't afford the food that's in the grocers now, because almost 40% of it's being tossed out, which is, of course, raising prices. But, you know, that seems like a very serious issue. I don't understand why that's not – I just don't understand why no one's addressed that before. Are you the first one really get into this and to really start addressing this issue, or do you have friends out there that kind of do the same thing or do this exact same thing you do?
Well, yeah, of course. So my inspiration for all this, and I actually volunteer for an organization that's inspired me to do this, is Feedback is an organization out of the UK in London that has started Feeding the 5,000. So they feed people on food that would have been wasted mostly from farms to highlight this problem. They've been doing it for about 5 years, big public squares like Trafalgar Square in London. They've done it in Paris and Amsterdam. They have one in Vancouver next week. And I managed one in Oakland last year. And so that's where I found out this has been a problem, because in the U.S., you're right, we really don't have anybody in the U.S. talking about it. We've got some companies that are doing things and some people that are talking about food waste as a whole and how much we waste at home or wherever. But focusing on this piece, yeah, it's kind of new, and I've been lucky to get out in front of this and get a lot of support, because it's now a lot of people are paying attention. That the Twitter audience I have has grown amazing in the last 4 months. It's just – but, yeah, it's one of those issues that people really – it really resonates with them, too, when you're throwing out perfectly good, nutritious produce that looks a little different. And then there's
kind of makes you angry in a way.
Sure.
I mean, you're literally throwing out all this food. So why don't the farmers stop and say, well, hang on a second, I can sell this food at a reduced price and make even more money. If no one buys it, we can, you know, sell it for 20 or 30% less to people that come right to our farms to buy the ugly stuff. And
sure,
that ever even thought of?
And that's why I don't focus on, you know, taking it out on farmers, because farmers pretty much kind of have to do what the big grocer or the big corporations tell them to do, because they have contracts, they're supposed to produce a certain amount, and,
sure,
you know, they don't want to violate that. So, yeah, farmers would love to be selling this stuff. It's just there's no market for it right now because the stores don't sell it, and farmers markets are only a small portion. So, yeah, they'd love to. And one of the reasons why I also talk about it is because it hurts farm workers. You know, it hurts farmers by, obviously, like you said, wasting all this produce. It's just this whole kind of situation that needs a lot of attention because it is a huge waste. And also, where I'm at in California, we have a huge, severe drought where, you know, we're wasting so much food that actually 25% of all water, fresh water, is used on food we don't eat. So that's another big issue, too. That, yeah.
Wow.
So now you have all, okay. So, okay. Ha, I didn't know that either. I had no idea. Yeah, and that drought's not getting any better over there in California, is it?
No, not at all. It's actually pretty scary because people keep saying that if it keeps going like this, you know, we're going to have some serious issues in California. Some articles have even said goodbye, California 2018 or whatever. So it's a little scary. Yeah, and then the fact that we're wasting so much water on, you know, a thing that we don't have to. It's like literally the low-hanging fruit here. This is not, you know, really, you know, measures to restrict water use on landscapes that might be difficult or agriculture in certain. You just stop wasting food. 25% of all fresh water. There it is.
So, no, I agree. And so is there a certain specific type of food that is being wasted more than others on the farms?
Well, so there's certain types of produce that are more delicate. I know a guy who's actually starting up an ugly produce company called Imperfect Produce out of Berkeley and Oakland. And he's worked with farms in California for decades. And so I've learned a lot from him. And the stone fruit is really the difficult item, actually. So, you know, peaches, plums, nectarines, that kind of thing. Those are more delicate and get wasted more often. So that might even be more than 40% of those. Of course, lettuce is a little more delicate, and they peel off the edges and gets down to a much smaller head than it was. So, yeah, there's certain things that are wasted more than others, for sure.
Okay, so do you have an idea of as far as metric tons? Is there, like, an average amount of tonnage that's actually wasted? You know, what does 40% equal as far as our gross amount of food? Do you have any numbers like that, or –
Yeah, the number that's being thrown around now, and it's, you know, the numbers aren't exact because we don't have good measurements on farms or whatever, but I've heard 6 billion pounds of produce a year just because it's ugly. There's a lot of other reasons that produce gets wasted, too, that could add up to, you know, the 40%. So if there's not a market, if we don't have labor to pick it, whatever, if a grocer cancels the contract. But the ugly piece is about 6 billion pounds a year in the U.S.
So is there a fruit that's normally not ugly? Let me guess, potatoes.
yeah, potatoes are a little more forgiving, right? Sweet potatoes especially, they can look like birds and anteaters and whatever. Yeah, some of them, it's a little more forgiving than others, for sure. Or some of them, just like berries are super delicate also.
Right. What do you think the least ugliest food is?
That's a tough one. I mean, I don't find any of them really ugly just because obviously that's why I post them. And some of them are just amazing. The least ugly fruit? I don't know. I think the funniest piece of produce is carrots to me because they grow in so many different shapes, whether they look like people or animals or appendages or maybe things unmentionables of people. I don't know. Carrots are pretty funny and pretty unique. They grow in so many different ways. It's fun.
Well, what's your favorite food?
My favorite food, usually pizza and pasta. I mean, obviously, I like a lot of produce. Fruit and veggies for sure. Carrots, I eat tons of carrots. You know, the pears and strawberries, whatnot. If I was going for produce, it would probably be strawberries, pears, and then carrots for vegetables.
Yeah. Do you currently buy the ugly produce, or do you shop at the major supermarkets and other small produce companies?
Yeah, there really isn't any places to buy a lot of it. I mean, I can go to a Supermercado down the street It's a smaller grocery store, and they have a little bit of ugly produce, but not much. The farmer's market, I can pick through there and find a little bit. But yeah, on the whole, I'll shop at like a Whole Foods or somewhere, and the stuff there is pretty perfect. So it's kind of hard.
So,
it's not easy to find ugly produce if you're in the U.S., really.
So does the ugly produce cost the same amount as the attractive produce when you do find it?
If you're finding it at a supermercado, it's a little different, or a farmer's market, a little less. And farmer's market, it's a little less, too. So, and certainly everywhere is less than Whole Foods, right? So
I bet it's not 60% less.
That's worked really well in other countries with ugly produce is they are selling it at 30 to 50% of discount, and they're increasing sales and increasing store traffic along with it. So it's something that farmers will be happy to sell it for less, and people will be happy to buy it for less. That's why it's only a matter of time.
There's not an avenue for farmers to sell it right now.
In the U.S., no. But I think it's only a matter of time. I've heard some rumblings of some retailers, but I haven't gotten the name yet. We get one that does it really well, and then it'll be everywhere.
It just seems like common sense to me. I don't know. The consumer can save 40-50% on their fruits and vegetables, which means more people would eat healthier, obviously, because it's less expensive. Two, you waste less water. Three, the farmer would make more money. Four, maybe the government subsidies that we pay farmers wouldn't have to be as much. And farmers would make a lot more money. It's hard for me to wrap my head around the fact that this is an actual problem.
I know, right? It's one of those things that it's when I found out about it, when I was, developing the Feeding the 5,000 Oakland, first I was worried about, at the store or at the home. And there's so many articles written out there that are kind of putting it on the consumer like it's their fault. And really, it's the biggest problem is at the farm. And it's because of stores, because of corporations that, have these policies. So, yeah, it's just a ridiculous problem. And like you said, the nutritional part, too. I didn't realize until I saw this a little bit ago, 1 in 2 people on the planet are malnourished. And mostly because we don't eat enough fruits and vegetables. So there's another reason.
50% of people.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
50% of people are malnourished. Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. You would think I'm dumbfounded. That's a problem. I don't know. That should be a huge eye-opener for people that we're having so many economic problems. We're having so many issues in the country right now, but yet we're throwing away 40% of what could feed us and even make healthier people. Which would mean that you'd be more productive, you'd be healthier,
yeah.
You'd be more physically fit. I don't know. It's dumbfounding some of the stupid problems we have in this country.
There's some organizations and companies out there doing things about it, just a smaller scale. So we need some huge impact at large grocery levels, really.
So if people wanted to get involved in something like this, is there a local level, or is this just a small outlet? Is there anywhere in their local, is there a local chapter in every state? Is there a huge organization that does that, or is it just little small pop-ups here and there to get the contact?
Well, for my campaign, it's mostly, it's online, it's social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and it's all over the world. But really, if you wanted to do something on your local level other than online, just ask your grocer. Start asking them to buy this stuff or sell it. Go to farmers markets and pick out the stuff that most people wouldn't buy or would, look right over. Or you could start a gleaning group is actually a really cool thing that the USDA has grants for. So that's a group that goes to farms and picks this stuff and then gives it to food pantries or people in need or maybe take some of it home themselves, whatever. There's so much produce out there. Yeah, so you can do that too. There's lots of ways you can do that things, yeah.
So why don't food pantries do that now? Why don't they get a big truck once a week and go to these farms and pick up all the ugly fruit?
Yeah, some do. So my friend Ron Clark that works with Imperfect Produce, he's done that for years, that there is produce that does go to food banks, but farmers don't make much, so they can't just give it away and pick it themselves. So unless the food pantry or food bank has people to pick it, in most cases it's not feasible to give away all this produce because it still has to be picked. It still has to be trucked, So there's a great program in California that gets this done for something like 140 million pounds a year, but that's still not scratching the surface for what's out there.
Nowhere near it.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
It's, But I mean, there is the potential. It's just we need more people interested in doing that and more resources going to those programs.
So has there been any talk on the Hill or in Congress or in the Senate or anything about a program that would move this along?
Well, yeah, so there is the program in California, and it does provide incentives to farmers to do this, and the food banks can pay them a little bit.
State government.
Yeah, it's just the state. So national, I've only heard of some other states doing something like this on a very small level, and I have not heard of any federal action on this. And ugly fruit and vegetables as a whole, I don't see any action on it either, partly because it's just one of those underlying problems that nobody knows about, and we need more people talking about it and, you know, telling government they want something done. Otherwise, it's just going to still sit there and, yeah, nothing happens.
And rot away on the ground. That's amazing.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just sitting there wasting. I'm surprised they don't give it to the farmhands they have that are picking that food.
Yeah, and I've asked this, and they said that there's not, like, the right system for that, or it's just not how it's done.
It's
one of those things, like, those folks have, like, the toughest job in the world, working 12, 14, whatever hour days, getting paid not very much. Just taking stuff home with them, it's just not really, interest, or it just doesn't work that way. Yeah.
I don't understand that. So what advice could you give the everyday person listening, or any tips to either get some of those ugly fruits and veg or speak up? Or, you know, are there any other websites to go to? I know you mentioned yours. Do you have links on your website to maybe a petition or anything?
Yeah, so on my website I have links to something like 20 major grocers in the U.S. right to their comment page to tell them why you want it and whatever you want to say. So it makes it really easy. I also have their Twitter handle, so you can tweet at them. We really just need to create more and more noise around this issue. And you could even go into the store and start engaging people and talking to them. Again, going to farmers markets and buying the stuff that you see that you know would go wasted. But I think the social media campaign is really powerful because it's now led to all these different articles. I've had something like 20-something articles published in the last few months on the issue when people weren't even really talking about it much. So the more people talk about it, the more people write about it. I mean, and we have fun, too, on my Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I post funny pictures of produce that, you know, they're kind of the celebrities of the ugly produce bunch, but they're fun. And so part of it is just, you know, passing on the conversation, getting more people interested. And then you actually will look at your produce different when you go to the grocery store. You'll see the bruised pear, the bruised apple, and think, well, maybe I should buy that instead of throwing it away.
But I don't think you could go to your local Safeway and haggle with the cashier over a bruised pear.
Cold boxes. That's what it's called when they pick stuff off the shelf that has little bruises on it. It's called the cold box. And sometimes they'll let that they'll sell that, but not very often.
Okay. Excuse me, a little bit of frog in my throat. Anyway. excuse me. So, what other information can you get? Wow. What other information can you give?
You're choking on this issue. You're just choking. It's just so ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know. Wow, that was the weirdest thing. So what other information can you give our listeners today about this? As far as numbers go, other organizations, things of that number.
Well, really, there's a lot you can do about food waste. I mean, I also have my main site, because I do other stuff with food waste, is called endfoodwaste.org. And I have a lot of resources there about how you can prevent food waste anywhere, whether it's at home, at your place of business, at your, you know, kid's school. There's a lot of things you can do because, again, it's not just for farms, even though that's more than half of it. We waste food everywhere, and it's massive resources, and folks are hungry in the process. So there's a lot of things you can do, whether it's preventing food waste or donating. If you grow a lot, you can donate it, you can glean. So, yeah, go on endfoodwaste.org and see all those different resources. There's a number of great books out there and other things to inspire you. Tristram Stewart, I volunteer for his organization. He wrote a great book called Waste. There's a lot of great books out there and reports, too, that can really get you involved if you want to learn more, and then do more too. I Value Food is another website I really like, ivaluefood.com. So that has tons of tips for your home, whether it's getting creative with stuff that's going, you know, near bad or maybe a little wilted, you know, stuff that maybe you have just a bunch of odds and ends. So there's all kinds of tips there too.
Okay. So what got you so passionate about this? What was the turning point for you?
Right. So, and when I was reading that book about Jonathan Bloom's book, American Wasteland, it just kind of shocked me how much, because I didn't realize it. Then I started to look at everything differently. And, of course, I kept wanting to do something about food waste. And then last year I developed an event for industry folks and sort of the waste, food waste industry. And that just got really popular and lots of people came to it. It kept getting bigger.
Right.
So it's one of those things that I see how this is capturing people and how it's linked to so many things, like we talked about, healthy eating, water, wasting food as far as just, you know, resources. But it's linked to so many things, and we have, you know, all these issues we need to deal with, but this is linked to so much. And that's why in kind of a simple way I say on my End Food Waste website to end hunger, climate change, and food waste all at the same time, because they are really linked. So to me, I see it as the issue, but it's also the opportunity too. It's like the challenge and the opportunity of our time, because we're wasting so much, it's so massive, but yet we have such an opportunity to do something about it. I mean, we can prevent food waste at home, at stores, the farms. So yeah, it's just one of those things. I've actually kind of gotten consumed by it, and I spend so much time outside of work even, a lot of time, because, and it's gaining traction. It's exciting to see. Never have we had so many people talking about it. Big chefs and big foodies are now talking about it, which is important because they have a lot of people following them. There's actually some of them follow my Twitter account too, so it's pretty cool. It's getting a lot of attention, and we're gaining momentum. It's just massive, massive problem.
Yeah, it seems almost unreal this day and age to be doing that. I don't understand the concept behind or the mindset behind that, and why no one until this point has stood up and said anything about it. I don't get it. We're worried about passing marijuana legislation, and we've got people starving.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer, but, you know, it's just one of those things that we're getting to it now, so let's just do something about it, right?
Absolutely. So why don't you go ahead one more time and give your website and your Twitter page and all that stuff, and then we'll get the show closed for the afternoon.
Sure, yeah. The website is www.uglyfruitandveg.org, just V-E-G at the end there, fruitandveg.org. And then whether it's on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, it's at uglyfruitandveg. And there's posts every day, so it's fun. Join in and send. Actually, I have people send me their produce pics all the time, and I'll retweet it or repost it with some funny comments. So, yeah, a lot of funny stuff out
there.
Some of the stuff is pretty lewd. I don't need all of those. You can keep those for yourself.
Yeah, I did some Googling on this earlier and did a photo Google, and there's some hilarious stuff. Because in fact, some have made little ugly fruit and vegetable towns, and they have like a little grocery store and a little wagon. They have ugly potatoes pulling a wagon, and they have ugly apples inside the wagon. It's kind of comical how much time people have on their hands.
It is, but it's fun.
We're going to go ahead and get closed down for the day. Jordan, we really appreciate you coming on and talking about it's a very important problem. We need to address it sooner than later. Everyone would agree with that. But anyway, we will talk to you later, Jordan. In the meantime, make sure you guys follow his Twitter page and go to his website. All right, Jordan, take care, man. Have a good evening.
Thank you. You too.
Bye. All right, guys, that concludes the show for the day, guys. What you'll want to do is definitely check out Jordan's information. It blows my mind that this is an issue these days. I don't get it. So the more people that join the fight, the sooner we can address it. In the meantime, if you can go to our network, www.chefbar.com, and also go to our Twitter, @chefandbar, and like us on Facebook. Tomorrow we have a great interview coming up. We'll be talking barbecue at 4 p.m., so tune in. Have a good evening, guys.